Jesus and his disciples, which begs the question, when's the last time you opened up your home to someone? When's the last time that you opened up your home to someone? Now more than ever in these days, we come home after a long day, we shut the garage, and we don't let anyone in, right? We're home for the night, we're glad to be home, and we kind of sometimes wall the outside world out, right? We don't want to talk to anybody or deal with anything else. And other times, perhaps we're worried about what people might think about our place, right? You might worry about what if they discover that our home here, it's not exactly in order, right? It's not exactly in order here. And I don't know about you, but when we have people over to our house, we suddenly go into like mass cleaning mode. And what does that mean? It means I vacuum, right? I'm the vacuum guy, and I do the vacuuming, and I'm picking up things, throwing them in the closet, shutting the door, right? Monica's dusting, she's cleaning, she's making the bed, and by the time someone comes over, the house looks nothing like it did before. It's like a total transformation. And perhaps you're here this morning and your house is a mess, right? You'd say, you know what, my house is a mess. But I'm not talking about your physical, literal house, although it may be a mess. I want to talk about your internal house. Your internal house. Maybe your thoughts this morning are discombobulated. Maybe your emotions are all over the place. Maybe on the inside this morning, your heart feels like it's dead. Your heart might feel this morning like it's just dead. Where then do you go? Where do you go? You go to the great physician. You go to Jesus Christ. That's where you go. What will he do for you? What will he do for you? Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27, tell us what he will do. And I will give you what? A new heart. I'll give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you, and so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. You know, it doesn't take much for our hearts to become stubborn, stony, cold, and indifferent. In this world we live in today, it doesn't take much for our hearts to become stubborn, stony, cold, and indifferent. What makes them this way? Well, first, our sin nature. We were born with a sinful nature. How do we overcome our sinful nature? How do we overcome that nature? Only through a heart transplant. Only through a heart transplant. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, that is, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again on the third day, he places within you his spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says this, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So when you place your faith in Jesus, he puts his spirit in you and he gives you a new nature. Now your sinful nature and your new nature, those two things are in battle, right? They're bucking heads together. It's a war. Your sinful nature and your new nature, it's a battle. Your sinful nature urges you to live for sin and self, right? We're good at living for sin and self a lot of times, right? We were born with a sinful nature. Our new nature urges us to live for Jesus and others. And so, we have this constant battle going on. We're going to come back to that here in a minute. He gives us a new heart, and he changes our heart. We're going to come back to that, so hold on to that. Where to get a good meal? Second, a good meal comes from someone who loves you more than the meal itself. A good meal comes from someone who loves you more than the meal itself. I love this Proverbs 15:17. A bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. All right? A bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. Some of the best meals I've ever had were in Brevard, North Carolina. Brevard, North Carolina. And there, Miss Essie Whitmire, she was in her mid to late 80s. She would have me over after church on a Sunday with her son and the family. And she would have a squash and she'd fry it up in the skillet. And man, it tasted so good. It was like eating fried fish. I could just eat that till it was gone. And she'd cook cream corn and black-eyed peas and a host of other vegetables. I don't ever remember eating meat at her house. Right? I don't ever remember just a host of vegetables there that she'd have. And what do I remember? I remember her one time, her son Ronnie. Ronnie was in his 60s and he was a rather heavy set guy and he was just eating a lot that day, and all of a sudden the chair that he was sitting on, it fell flat and he landed right on his butt. Can I say that in church? I don't know. And man, we started laughing so hard. After we made sure he was okay. But man, there was a lot of love in that place. There was a lot of love. My in-laws, Monica's parents, man, they, when we go home in the summer, they have a host of vegetables there, and they just love eating vegetables. In fact, when we go to Cracker Barrel, if we go there, sometimes Monica, she'll always get just the vegetables. And just eating vegetables with people you love, there's something about that. If you just have that, that is enough. I believe Martha loved Jesus. I believe she loved him, but I think she got distracted like a lot of us do. She got distracted by everything else going on around her. Let's look at Luke 10:40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me," right? Tell her to help me. Don't you care? Don't you see? Right? I don't know about you, but I can get so frustrated with people, right? I can get so frustrated with people. Right? I don't want to love them, but I want to kill them. Or, like yesterday, driving home, perhaps maybe run them off the road. A little road rage. Either way, that doesn't sound good, does it? What's wrong with me? I'll tell you what's wrong with me. Sin. Sin is what is wrong with me, right? I have this battle going on inside of me. There's a battle going on when it comes to loving other people. Here's the thing. I love God's Word with all my heart. Man, I love to read the Bible. I love to meditate on it, think on it, memorize it, dwell in it. But obeying it, living it, doing it, man, that's another thing altogether, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh man, I love you, Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh man, I fail that one every day, right? The Apostle Paul, he struggled with his sin nature. Certainly he did. Listen what he said in Romans 7:22-25. He says this, "I love God's law with all my heart." I love it, right? I love his word. I love God's law with all my heart. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. There's a war going on in my mind, right? There's another power. This power is making me a slave to the sin that is still within me. There's sin in me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. You know, this is the Apostle Paul talking, who wrote half of the New Testament. He says, I'm a miserable person. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who's going to set me free from this? Who's going to free me from myself? thank God, the answer is in who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. The answer is always in Jesus, right? It's not in ourselves. It's not in anybody else. The answer is found in Jesus. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. I want to do the right thing. I want to love people. I want to be the best I can be. But because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So let's think about this. Does this mean I am incapable of loving other people? Is that what it means? No. What does it mean? It means that it's always going to be a battle, right? It's always going to be a battle. Here's the thing. The battle has already been won, right? Jesus won the battle, right? He conquered sin and death when he died on the cross and rose again. So now I have a choice. I have a choice. I can choose to walk in my old nature, in my sinful nature, or I can choose to walk in my new nature. Before I became a Christian, before I came to know Jesus, I didn't have a choice in the matter. I was consistently unloving, hard-hearted, and cold all the time. Now I have a choice. Maybe you're here this morning and you've noticed some things about yourself that you don't like. You'd say, yeah, there's some things about myself. I don't know why I do these things. I don't like that I do them. Maybe you don't like the way that you treat your spouse sometimes. You'd say, yeah, me and my spouse, we just seem like we're at odds a lot, and I don't want to be that way. I don't like when I'm that way. Maybe you don't like who you are when you're at work. Maybe you're a different person at work than you are when you're at home. Right, and you don't like the work you, right? The work you is totally out of character. It's not who you are, and you're like, I don't know why I act that way. I don't know why I do those things. Maybe you, lately the kids are bringing out another side of you, right? The kids are bringing out another side of you, and you're like, you know what? I'm really not this way, but I feel like during this season or time in my life, they're bringing out a side of me that I don't like who I am. What then do you need to do? Third, you need to choose Jesus over all other available options today. You need to choose Jesus over all other available options today. Let's read on here. Luke 10, verses 41 and 42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Right? It's amazing how many things that I can be worried and upset about, that I can just allow to get in my mind and in my heart and take me away from where I need to be in my walk and in my relationship with the Lord. Right? But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Right? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Only one thing is needed. Here's the thing. This world will offer you many attractive options and opportunities, much like a car dealer. Right, you go to the car dealer and they say, for an extra $2,000, we can get you all-wheel drive. Well, have you been here in the winter? Right, you got to have all-wheel drive. For an extra $1,500, we can get you heated leather seats. You got to have heated leather seats, right? You got to be warm. For an extra $1,200, we can get you a sunroof. Everybody knows the 2 months out of the year here, June and July, is hot. Right? So you got to have a sunroof those 2 months, right? Before you know it, you've been taken away from what you really needed. Here's my question. Where's this world taking you today? Where's the world taking you? Is it taking you to swimming lessons, baseball camps, traveling soccer teams? May I suggest that only one thing is needed? Jesus. See, Jesus will take you to a better place. Psalm 23, you know Psalm 23. Let's just look at a few verses, 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. All right? Maybe you can just meditate on just that one phrase. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I don't know about you, but I'm always wanting something, right? The newest, the latest, the best, the fastest, the coolest, the neatest, right? I got to have it. I want it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. All right? Sometimes we just need to get away with the Lord that he might restore our soul. Right? Let him feed into us his word. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's guiding me in the right way to go. Perhaps the question we should be asking is, are you letting the Lord guide you? I think more or less we ask him to rubber stamp what we've already decided in our hearts to do, right? Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Please bless it. Right? Are you letting the Lord guide you? Sometimes I think we're like the parable of the sower, the seed that fell among the thorns. I know I can be that way. You remember the parable of the sower? The seed that fell among the thorns was choked out. Right? The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choked out that seed. The deceitfulness of wealth is what? I got to get more, have more, do more, right? Be more. And so it's this constant going, right? I got too much going on in my own life to have time for others, right? I got too much going on in my own life to have time for others. My prayer is that you would let him guide you to love others. Our church picnic today is a wonderful opportunity to do that. It's a wonderful opportunity. And my prayer is that you wouldn't run off, run out these doors and go do your own thing and be distracted by other options that are available, right? Because there's always going to be other options. My prayer is that you would choose what is best. Why? Because a bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, well, Ed, I already got plans. I made plans, so I can't go to Phelps Park today. I just don't have time. Okay, I understand. For you, I have one question. What about the great wedding feast? Right? We watched that silly video at the beginning, and right, the master saying, hey, invite these people. And they all alike begin to make excuses. Well, I can't come. I just got some oxen and I got to try them out. Well, I can't come. I just got married, right? And well, I can't come. And, you know, what about the great wedding feast? Jesus is offering you an invitation to his feast, to his banquet. I think so many people say, no, not today, not now, right? I got something else to do that's more important. Listen to what Jesus says here in John 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If you're thirsty today, if you're desperate today, if you're wanting something more, needing something more, Jesus said, don't go anywhere else but to me. I will quench your thirst, right? Sprite says, obey your thirst, right? Jesus says, come to me, right? Obey me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant what? The Spirit, right? A bubbling well will well up inside of you and change you. Do you believe? Do you believe? It starts with coming to Jesus, right? Come to me, all you who are thirsty. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I can relate to having a heart that feels sometimes dead on the inside. Sometimes I don't like who I am. I don't like the way I act or how I treat other people, and I don't want to be that way. I feel that battle. I feel the war in my mind from who I am and who I want to be. Would you pray for me? Well, in a minute here, we're gonna pray. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I've never asked Jesus into my heart and into my life. I've been coming, checking this place out. I've been visiting, and I've come to a place where I'm ready to make that step forward. I'm ready to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I know that He's calling me. I know that I've been thirsty. I've been parched. I've been dry. I know that I need something more, and I know that what I need is Jesus. I've been choosing other things in this world that I thought would satisfy me, fulfill me, but they've only left me empty. And I want to choose Jesus today. Well, in a minute, we're going to pray for you that you can make that choice and help you in that decision. The great wedding banquet's going to happen. Right, it's going to happen. And the question is, will you be ready? Will you be ready? What are the requirements? That you accept the invitation. Jesus is offering you an invitation. My prayer is that you wouldn't run out the door and go somewhere else, but that you come to Jesus. That you'd have a come to Jesus moment today where you'd say, yes, yes to Jesus. That's what I need. And not be distracted by everything else going on around you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Sometimes when we're hungry, we run everywhere but where we need to be. Maybe we're not hungry in the physical sense, but we're hungering for something more because we're in a broken world. Perhaps in some broken relationships at work or in the home. And so we think if we can just do this or go there or fill up our schedule or fill up our lives, that will fill the emptiness, the loneliness, the hurt, and the pain. But it won't. Only Jesus satisfies. Only He fulfills. And so if you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I've been distracted. I've been distracted by things that really don't matter and just aren't important in life. Would you pray for me this morning? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ who would say, you know what, I've been distracted by the many options that are available out there today. And really, the one thing I need is Jesus. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would come to you today, that you would restore their souls, that you would lead them beside quiet waters, that you would refresh them, that they may just meditate and think on that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. That the thing they thought they needed or wanted or had to have so bad, they would realize is right in front of them, and that's you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for those that are here today who would say, you know what? I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I've realized that my heart has always been stony, stubborn, cold, and indifferent. And I didn't even have a choice. I lived in sin. In a moment, the Lord can change that. In a moment, He can place His Spirit in you. And man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so I'd just like to lead you in a prayer to help you in that process. If that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, yes, Ed, that is me. I want to start fresh. I want to start anew. Then I would ask that you softly and quietly just repeat these words in your heart after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. He will give you a new nature. In fact, the Bible says you will be a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Doesn't mean you'll never battle or struggle with sin, but now you do have a choice. Right? Before you didn't have a choice, now you have a choice. And he will give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. To you be the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.